This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusea in today for Meghna Chakrabarty.
So it's time, that time of year again, March Madness, which for basketball lovers means it's time to start filling out those brackets.
And for fans of Harvard, this year is extra special as the Crimson are making their first appearance in the tournament since 1946. But if Harvard wants to be this year's Cinderella story, they'll first need to get by a tough Vanderbilt team. Here's how one expert sized up their chances.
I have to ask you a question here, because you had Vanderbilt knocking off Harvard. This is the first time Harvard's in since 1946.
Listen,
you have a degree from Harvard.
I've got a degree from
Arnie
Harvard.
Arnie Duncan played at Harvard.
Arnie Duncan, my Secretary of Education, played at Harvard. I will be rooting for Harvard,
okay,
but it's just too much of a stretch.
Just too much of a stretch. That, of course, President Obama sizing up the Crimson's chances. And joining us now with his take is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So we heard the president there, not a believer. He calls Harvard's chances too much of a stretch. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I have to correct Adam on one thing. The Harvard women have made the tournament a number of times.
Point taken.
The men haven't made it since 1946. And in fact, the men could take a little bit of a lesson from the women, because the only time a 16 seed has ever knocked off a number one seed was back in 1998 when the Harvard women beat Stanford.
Ah, so
and
there's a precedent
so
here.
The men have every reason to think that Harvard, as an institution, is capable of an upset, and who knows, maybe Vanderbilt will pay the price for that.
Well, so it's their first visit in 76 years, the men at least. How were they able to turn it around this year? What did they do differently?
Well, one thing they did was 5 years ago they hired Tommy Amaker as a coach, and he played for Duke, and that gave him some pedigree, and he coached at a couple of Division I schools before he moved on to Harvard, and that gave him the rest of the pedigree, and he's been able to put together quite a good team. They were very good last year as well. But for a playoff game that they lost, they would have made the tournament last year as well. So this has been building for a few years, and now people are recognizing that he was a very good hire.
Now, Bill, speaking of that 1946 team, the last time the Harvard men went to the NCAA, I understand that Only a Game producer Doug Trabu has been working on a story about them that will air on WBUR tomorrow. What did he find out?
Right. Well, a reporter slash super sleuth Doug Trabu tracked down one of the members of that 1946 team.
Wow.
And his name is Louis D.C. Jr., and he explained from his home in Englewood, Florida, how that team was put together.
We had six of us from various schools transferred to Harvard, and the six of us were all either captains of their respective schools' basketball teams, and one fellow was an All-American, and then we had a ready-made basketball team.
So a real effort to construct a prize-winning
Absolutely.
Team, it sounds like.
Even 46 years ago, it was all about cherry-picking other guys' great players from other colleges.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, we can hear that story tomorrow in Morning Edition from Doug Trabu. And, Bill, before we move on, which teams in the March Madness brackets are you keeping an eye on?
Well, in the women's side, Delaware, they have Elena Deladon, who is arguably the best player, best female player in the country. She, of course, was recruited several years ago by Connecticut, got up there, decided she didn't want to be away from her disabled sister, and came home to Delaware and played volleyball for a year and now is the best basketball player in the country on the women's side. She's averaging like 29 points a game. They have never been as good as they are this year, never been a top 20 team, and suddenly they are. They'll be fun to watch. And then, of course, Baylor will be fun to watch because they haven't lost all year. And if they run the table in the tournament, I think they end up the year 40-0 or something like that.
40-0,
nobody's ever done that before on the women's side, obviously, either.
Well, Bill, the other big sports story this week concerns the yin to Tom Brady's yang. It's the question about who is going to win the sweepstakes for Peyton Manning. He's 35 years old. He was cut by the Colts last week after 15 seasons in Indianapolis. I lived in Indiana for much of that, and he was a really, really important person in that community. What do you think? Is this a smart move amongst all involved, and where does Peyton go next?
How smart the move is will be determined by what happens when Andrew Luck appears on the scene in Indiana and starts playing quarterback for them, and, of course, will be determined by where Peyton Manning goes and how well he's able to perform at the age of 36, coming off several neck surgeries. It's anybody's guess, but I'm not surprised that the Colts didn't re-sign him. It would have cost them $28 million just to re-sign him the way the contract was structured.
Mm. And Bill, while we're talking about the NFL, what do you make of these disturbing stories about so-called bounty programs? That is, NFL coaches paying their players to injure other players. What's going on here?
Well, one instance is a lot more than a story. It's pretty well established that this was happening with the New Orleans Saints. The assistant coach who was responsible for it has acknowledged what he did and apologized for it. It certainly makes a farce of the contention that the league is very concerned about player safety. If you've got players and coaches paying each other to knock somebody out of a game and giving them extra money if that person is carted off on a stretcher, we're really not talking about a concern for player safety. It may be that we get real penalties assessed by Commissioner Goodell, but it's interesting that the story broke at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon a couple of Fridays ago, and that the disciplinary discussions are being held at a time when everybody who cares about sports is paying attention solely to college basketball. I hope this doesn't mean that the NFL orchestrated this whole thing so that people would kind of forget about it and it would go away.
Well, let's hope indeed. Troubling story.
Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. You can also catch him right here on Radio Boston most Wednesdays. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you, Adam.